Welcome to the Future.Bible podcast, where you'll hear profiles of individuals and Bible-inspired organizations making a difference in the digital world. In each episode, we'll bring you stories of innovation, advancement, and real-life change. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode.
Hey friends, it is that time again. It is time for the Future.Bible podcast. I'm Kenny Jang with my cohort and partner in crime, as I always call you, DJ Chuang. How you doing, DJ?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's good to see you again on video.
It is one of those things where Zoom used to be something just for digital natives, but I don't know about you, DJ, but I've been sitting on this Zoom interface for hours and hours, weeks. It feels like weeks and weeks, years and years, but it's only been a couple of weeks. How are you feeling with Zoom these days?
I'm doing okay. I'm getting maybe one Zoom call a day in terms of frequency. They usually bunch up into one day. So out of the five business days, I might have three one day and two the other, and then nothing on the other 3 days. So I'm not feeling that Zoom fatigue that seems to be making the news these days. How about you? I think you work with many clients, so you probably on five a day or something.
Yeah, this last month, we were playing that Zoom game, and I logged 165 hours on Zoom in 30 days. So do the math. Wow. And typically, you know, Saturdays and Sundays are not really Zoom days. It's limited to about 20 work days, right? And so if you do the math, it's kind of a, I don't know if that's exhilarating or depressing. You pick one of those descriptives to describe that rate of video conferencing. But it does mean that I've been connecting with people, and I think connections are really good, especially in this season. I think the risk was that there are a lot of people who would not understand how to take care of video conferencing and how to connect with people. So there's a silver lining on everything, DJ.
Yeah, we're here on Future.Bible, and we talk about the intersection of Bible and technology. And I'm personally hosting two Bible studies using Zoom meetings with people that have never used Zoom. And I'm starting to hear chatter that, man, this is a great way to do Bible study. And so this is a great illustration and example of how this crisis has also turned into opportunity for more people to study the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, does Zoom still have the 40-minute limit for the free and basic plan?
I think it does, but some people are saying there's exceptions to it.
Yeah, I know for educators, for schools in particular, they've lifted that limit. They've taken the generosity play and really been able to embrace that. I know a lot of colleges and universities also have taken advantage of that. And then recently, you and I went through 11 different alternatives that you've been able to catalog on your site. We've been playing with a bunch of them over the last couple of weeks. There's actually one more that came across my desk that it's one of those I think I would say is oldie but goodie. It's a name that everyone remembers, I'm sure. But in reality, I don't think it's like in front of mind of anyone. So can you guess what that brand is for video conferencing that I'm thinking about?
Well, I can't read your mind, but I know two oldie but goodie players that are trying to edge their way back in is Skype and Google Hangout.
Yeah, so Google Meet, I guess is what it's called now, is making the comeback. And I think they're doing some great stuff. There is a Chrome extension that allows you not to do the active speaker, but see the gallery view. And I think that has been a game changer for people on the Google platforms. Skype, I guess, is trying to make a comeback. Even I always say they're the ones who basically owned the brand, the category, mm-hmm. And then they fell wayside. They just lost that opportunity. Don't know what happened. Obviously, there's a lot of people that point to it was acquired by Microsoft. Microsoft is the one that has recently put out the, I guess, the position statement, just like GIF did on the GIF and GIF story. Microsoft just did something with the two spaces versus one space after a period debate. And we can take another whole episode to talk about that one. But no, there's another company. And the company I'm thinking about, DJ, is WebEx. Do you remember WebEx?
I do remember them. They were acquired by Cisco, if I'm...
Yes. So it's called Cisco WebEx. And just to give a tip out to everyone up front in our episode here, they have removed their time limit as well as increased their participant limit on their free tier. So it's completely free. And they have no time limits on their meetings. So they do multi-person video conference like this. And you can have not 50, but 100 participants in their meeting at this point. So it's completely free. And Cisco touts that there's a lot of security issues with some of the other competitors, maybe some that you've come across in the news with, that starts with a Z, and that Cisco is a much more stable and secure platform. So I don't know exactly. We can nerd out on that offline, and actually, you know, maybe that's our next innovation, you know, sandbox session between you and me to check out all the little things about WebEx. But I just wanted to put that out there, it's because there's a lot of churches, a lot of ministries in particular, a lot of organizations that are trying to do team meetings across different departments with Bible study groups, with volunteer groups, etc. And having one or a very limited number of paid Zoom accounts, even though it's only $15 to upgrade, having a robust solution like WebEx. I feel like WebEx is a solution I can recommend with some confidence. It's not like some of those others that we discovered together in that list of 11 alternatives, right?
That's right. When you're talking about professional work, you want to make sure you have something that's reliable and secure. And I have a friend who's in that security business and he loves Cisco WebEx, but I don't know if they've made it easier to use. They have this pretty inconvenient widget thing you got to download and install in the past. But if they've made that easier, then all the better.
Yeah, I think we need to check it out. I went ahead and downloaded it. There is a download. It was pretty painless. I understand. I remember what you were talking about. There was some Cisco helper or something like that that you had to, and there is something like that, but it was much more seamless. I actually tried it on my iPad as well, and it just prompted an App Store download. It's completely free and was able to connect. So we'll have to take another episode to compare those two in particular. But today, we decided to come on board for another video streaming related topic, right, DJ? What are we going to talk about today?
Yes. We're going to talk about this whole phenomenon of online events.
Yes.
You've participated in two, and we can make a mention of the one we hosted right here at Future.Bible on March 16th, and we called it the 316 Online Summit. We had over 1,000 participants log in throughout the day, and the response has been better than expected.
Yeah,
what did you think from the producer's perspective?
It was I was surprised at how positive it was, how embracing it was, and just the encouragement that we got, you know, offline outside of the events, and even the follow-ups. So the follow-ups are still happening, so the relationships are happening from that event, and I'm looking forward for us to pull together the next Future.Bible online events. So these online conferences are going on. I just heard that Q, which is a big national conference, they actually just had a conference online, live streaming this past couple weeks, actually last week, I believe. And I believe they announced that they had over 8,000 participants on the live stream, DJ. That's kind of incredible, especially for a paid conference.
Yeah, and that's one of the higher ticket price conferences in the church and Christian world. So that's like 10x of their normal attendance, usually.
Yes, that literally is about, you know, it's, you know, when they started smaller, they've grown. I remember the last one I went to, I think it was 2 years ago, last year, or two, yeah, it was 2 years ago. They were in Music City, Nashville, at the main Music City Convention Center. Which is a large venue, but even then it was not 8,000 people. And so it'll be interesting to see if we can catch up with Gabe and his crew to see, you know, their reflections on how it went. Because I think we are all in this in an innovation evolution stage of what are the best practices for bringing people together in the online venues. One of the things that I've been saying to a lot of conference organizers that I'm talking to these days, I have a consultation this afternoon with another large online group that does offline conferences usually. And what I've been saying, DJ, is that you have to remember that offline, you have their captive attention, and you think that people are coming to basically just listen and talk to the speakers. But I think in reality, this is my hypothesis, and DJ, I want you to test it or give me a sounding board feedback, is that I don't think people go to conferences primarily just for the speakers. I don't think that's the value in the ticket. I think people go to conferences to, there's this like, this value that's hard, it's what do you call it, intangible, that you are with like-minded people. You have this affinity group that is all swimming the same way in terms of what the direction or the theme of the conference is, that what the cause, right? That special interest group that the conference is aggregating around. And being a part of that crowd, whether you're actively networking at a conference or even a wallflower, being a part of that has something of immense value for why people go to physical conferences. And so it's just a reminder to offline conference organizers bringing their conferences online that you have to attend to these other intangibles that provide value, right? You just can't have speakers and charge, you know, $500 for a conference anymore these days. You have to do some other things, right?
Well, our friends are doing that, and they're adding some value-added experiences online to make the dollars match the experience beyond just live streaming or showing on-demand talks. And you can see over my shoulder here is the conference that we want to mention from one of our partners. The Outcomes Conference is coming up May 4th to the 10th. So they're actually releasing a handful of videos from main stage speakers as well as workshops and exhibitors over the course of that week. And our friends at Christian Leadership Alliance, they run the website at leadership.bible. And so they're partners that way. And we've been participants in their offline conference in the past. And as they've worked hard at converting their offline experience into this online experience, they've done a lot behind the scenes. I've only seen a surface of it, but that's coming right around the corner. And I've heard that their registration numbers are higher than it's ever been compared to their offline conference.
That's what amazing, have you heard, right? Kenny? And thank God that we are able to have technology still deliver the content and experiences. And I want to, it is an experience. Kudos to the CLA team to translating their offline experience into something that online that has been attractional. And, you know, people have put, you know, a vote in by actually registering and paying for this conference for the actual, you know, live event as well as on demand. As you can see, pricing for the conferences range from $359 all the way up to $559 per person, right? And so it's interesting to see this event. I'm excited about seeing what they've done differently from some of the other online venues and things that we've seen in the past. Is there anything
you're one of the speakers, right? Well, certainly you're one of the speakers, so I definitely want to see you in action again. What will you be talking about?
So I'm going to be talking on Friday the 8th, right? So it starts on May the 4th, and it goes all the way through Sunday. And that's another twist. Their conference is going to happen on Saturday as well as Sunday. But yeah, so I think the session that I'm preparing for is on May the 8th on Friday, and it's broadcasting at 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern on May the 8th. And I believe the title of the talk is Winning the Internet with Microsites. I think one of the underappreciated strategies that people have in terms of content marketing is setting up microsites and using them for very focused reasons. I don't think microsites are for everybody and for every reason, but I'm going to be going through a couple of different categories of use cases for why you should consider microsite and how it's actually, to be honest, DJ, most of the case studies that are successful are the ones that are putting the visitor first, the actual consumer first, and and helping them really either navigate, recall, access, aggregate, those types of things. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to having that talk shared with communicators across the nonprofit landscape.
Well, I'm glad you're being honest with me now. But some of my thoughts in having gone to conferences for well over a decade, and I love going to conferences, and you're right, it is that intangible of being with people that are like-minded and rubbing shoulders with them.
Yes.
Back in the days when you could do that. And there's a mix, I think, two thoughts I have. There's a mix of people that go to the conference because it's the first time exposure to that topic and get a deep dive in it. And that's why the metaphor of drinking like a fire hose persists, even though I don't know of anyone that's ever done that before. And so they do go for the speakers, and that's why they do have those featured speakers on all the marketing, because that does draw the audience. But there's the whole other half of people that are there for the quote unquote networking. So the conference provides the opportunity to network, but it's still up to the attendees to make the networking happen. There are those that will plan and schedule their entire time meeting with people. I like to do it more spontaneously and just see who I run into. And I rarely attend sessions anymore because content is fairly easy to get these days. It's online, it's in podcasts, it's everywhere. Ideas are shared in so many formats now, and usually on the big stage, it's more of a live performance, kind of like music. People go to concerts even though CD already has the studio produced music and song that you can listen repeatedly over and over, but there's something special about that live performance that people go to see. And it's true in the speaking world too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you think about it, you know, the CD or the MP3 is perfect pitch, perfectly tuned music, and you actually have a better version of the music in your earbuds, but you go to live concerts for that other experience. So I do think even there, it's not just about the live experience with the performer, the creator, but it actually is, again, something about that shared experience that I'm hoping that CLA, with this outcomes conference, that we're going to be able to find ways to actually, you know, experience that as well. And it seems like it. They've got a lot of resources that are being put toward the interactivity, both with sponsors and different forums and the app, et cetera. Typically, even on their offline conference, they do a really big investment with the mobile app. And so it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be very interesting from that lens, from our point of view of evaluating, you know, have they done a good job in community development and all those interaction points, so that you know, that community, the alliance, as Tammy Heim calls it, so that the alliance members can really gel, collaborate, and build community there.
Yeah, I noticed while you were scrolling through the event page, they're actually having a dozen Zoom live sessions for people to be processing together. So that would be a great way to engage. I haven't found that community to be very active on Twitter or Facebook or social media. That's just not their thing. A lot of the people in that alliance are, you know, nonprofit professionals, and they work in large Christian nonprofits. Some are in smaller nonprofits, and they're trying to hone their management skill, their leadership skills, their ability to produce and serve their audience or serve their organization's mission as as well as possible as a good stewardship. And so that's the primary reason they're there, and they've done a good thing over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to give them a shout out, if you are on Instagram, let's give a shout out to their Instagram channel. It's just CLA Leader. You can go and follow them and interact with them at CLA Leader on Instagram. You can see they have some pretty good inspirational content flow coming out. Hopefully during the conference itself, there'll be a lot more live stories coming out of it. They've got an outcomes here thread going on, which I think is nice. Now, the other thing is shout out to our own, the Bible TLD, the American Bible Society's Dot Bible initiative. Help us. We're getting trying to get this off the ground. So the Bible TLD account at Instagram is something that hopefully you'll be able to take advantage of in terms of helping build more community and connections and discovering a lot more resources to help you with brand clarity across the internet. So just those two shout outs from a social perspective. So DJ, what's next? I think we should talk about just the format, that it's a multi-day conference and just the expectations, because there's a lot of people who go to 1 or 2 day, maybe even 3 day conferences offline. This one is happening from May 4th through the 10th. What do you think the actual, you know, expectations should be, or how do we tell people, you know, is this something they should be just blocking their entire day and calendar for, you know, for 6 days straight? Or are they supposed to look at the agenda and cherry pick? Are they only supposed to go to like dedicate 1 day? Do you have any ideas of maybe at least one way to approach participation and consumption for this type of conference, right? This online summit format, multi-day format is popular, and it's probably new to a lot of people.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the program yet, but having been at past conferences with the Outcomes conference, they jam-pack it with tons of content. So they usually have like 10 or 15 tracks going on at the same times in terms of workshops and seminars, and then the keynote sessions in the morning and evening are usually packed out as well. So I'm guessing that they've gone from a 3 day in-person format to a 7 or 8 day, seven day format online, so that you can take a few hours a day over the course of the 7 days rather than dedicating 3 entire days to the event. And so that gives a person flexibility to work around other things that might be happening that week over the course of the schedule. And I think having not looked at it, so that caveat mentioned, I think it's an a la carte experience. And you'll want to take a look at the menu and see which ones you want to attend and work around your personal schedule. And I think I also saw a note that they're making the content available through July.
Yes.
So that you pick and choose and order and consume the ones that are most important and relevant to you. You don't have to, it is all you can eat, but you don't have to eat it all. They won't charge you extra for leaving things on the plate.
So it looks like every day they start at 8:30 in the morning and ending with a 7 p.m. session. So it is wall-to-wall content, and all the times are in Central Daylight Time. So for you, DJ, on the West Coast, 8 a.m. means early rise if you're going to try to catch any of the first sessions. On the other side, you know, 8 p.m. for me, that's dinner time. So it really is almost like, dawn to dusk. They've got wall-to-wall content. So, in terms of actual just like return on investment or in terms of just the value, there's tons of this content. I love the fact that they've been generous. And instead of trying to gate this content, that they're making it available until July, right? I think that's just one thing we have to applaud a platform like Outcomes. Because the impulse always is to let's gate it back up immediately and try to monetize it even further. But these guys are being generous. So I think that's a really good thing.
I agree.
So that, I guess that's the plan for next week, is to cherry pick some of the things and to go. I think as a team, it's going to be interesting for us to trade some experiences and then have, it's almost like what, you know, the on-demand streaming services experience these days is trading favorites. Like what, you know, what are the latest shows you've seen on Netflix and Hulu that you recommend? And we'll probably be doing the same thing with outcomes, because we're not all going to see the same exact workshops and speakers and presentations as a team. And I think it's going to be interesting to get together. I actually wonder if there's going to be any sort of ratings or feedback mechanism for each of the speakers. That would be interesting, so that you can go back and actually see some of the higher rated sessions, so that you have some efficiency in getting exposure to some of the really rock solid content up front, right?
Yeah, that is a neat feature. And I noticed that the platform we used for 316 Online Summit had that feature, that you were able to add comments to each of the talks, but also rate them. And you were able to send out a follow-up email with the top three talks. So that was really valuable for people.
Great. So it's the Outcomes Conference. It's from Christian Leadership Alliance. If you go to christianleadershipalliance.org, that is the name and the official destination for the actual organization. So you can actually see how they are equipping leaders for kingdom impact. That's one of those things that I think you should just be aware of. If you are in the faith-based Christian nonprofit realm, I think that's something that you really should be looking at. And then just to give you the URL destination for the website, it's outcomesconference.org. Outcomes, plural, conference.org. And I believe individual and group registrations are still available if you'd like to, you know, grab a ticket before May 4th. So that's that. DJ, why don't you, as we close out today's session, why don't you share with everybody how they could get in touch with us, find more information about the podcast and other things .bible?
Yes, we are always at future.bible. There's no extra extension on that. .bible is the new top level domain for all things Bible. And you can contact Kenny over email, kenny@get.bible, and me. You can email me, dj@get.bible. And we are into season two of our future.bible podcast. We have some special guests lined up in the coming weeks. And then we'd love to hear your questions and make this an interactive conversation, so that we can learn about creating the future of Bible and technology, because the eternal truth needs to be contextualized for our times today and tomorrow. Subscribe on any of your favorite podcast app, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, those are the top three. And then we're on social, everything, all the links are at future.bible. So we're going to close this out. We'll see you next time around. Thank you for listening. Add a review, add some stars, help people find us, and let's grow together. Stay social, be social.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed today's session, please help us share this podcast with your friends, colleagues, and family members. You can do that by leaving a review on iTunes or by sharing our website, www.future.bible, with your network. Don't forget to join us next week for the next episode of the Future.bible podcast.